Hello, and welcome to the GregBurt.com podcast. This is the first one for May 2007. I'm Greg, I'm the host, and I have a few things to talk about. I know I've been a little busy and haven't really gotten around to podcasting over the past 2 weeks, but I do have a few things lined up to talk about. And actually, this is the first podcast where I'm using a music introduction, but don't go telling record companies or anything that I'm using their copyrighted music, because this is actually something I wrote and recorded today, which is exciting for me, maybe not for you. But anyway, let's get on with the show. So I started out with some music, and I'd like to start talking about music. And I heard a couple weeks on the radio that record sales were just terrible, like maybe the worst they've ever been. And I think a big reason for that is that the music industry never really fully embraced the MP3 thing and technology. They fought it and brought people to court for sharing music files, and that just didn't work, apparently, because record sales are terrible, because people were sharing music online, and even if you don't illegally download music, you can find the videos on YouTube, you can find places to listen for free online, and because of this, the record companies are really hurting, and it's really just their own fault for being stupid about it in the first place. And as a result, you're getting more and more bands that are taking things into their own hands, especially with the internet. Bands are getting on MySpace, and they're able to share their music, and if they want, they can allow you to download it, or they can just allow you to play it. And if you're a rock band, from what I've heard, is you really can't depend on the record companies to help you out. The record companies these days are looking more for the flavor of the day pop musicians that are going to sell a bunch of records right out of the gate, and they don't seem to really be interested in developing artists over a long period of time, so they're looking for the musician. Well, some of these people aren't really musicians. I don't know if you could call Lindsay Lohan a musician. But the record companies are looking for those type of people who will sell a million or two records right up front, but they're not looking to help out the bands that might get better over time and end up being successful down the road, and that's really hurting the record companies, I think. But in the end, for any big company to survive long term, they have to be able to change and adapt to what's going on today. Well, the oil companies are an exception. They can just keep doing what they're doing and shove it down our throats. But other than the oil companies, any big company really has to change and keep up with what's going on. And if they don't, too bad for them. And as far as the record companies are concerned, I don't really care if they make money or not, because I can still find the music that I want to listen to online, and I can buy it from iTunes. Well, I guess that helps the record companies if you buy it from iTunes. But even so, the idea is that the record companies are out there, and they're losing a hold on the musicians, and we can pretty much get anything we want to listen to, so it doesn't matter if you get it for free from the artist, or if you buy it through iTunes, or if you even still go to the store and buy a CD. The music's there, and the record companies just have to catch up if they want to keep making money from it. So keeping on with the music theme here, let me tell you about the Chicago Blues Festival. It was actually something I discovered about 2 years ago. I was out in Chicago for a day, and I wasn't aware that this festival existed, although I found out when I was there, and I actually got to see one very small band perform at the Navy Pier. But anyway, this year it's going on from June 7th through the 10th, and it's actually a really cool thing. I say that having not been there, but being a fan of the blues, and the blues, of course, is the older brother, I guess you could say, or maybe the grandfather of rock and roll. And of course, the blues comes from the Midwest and the Deep South, and Chicago, I guess, has taken claim to being the home of the blues. But anyway, it's a really cool festival if you can get out there, and if somebody wants to pay for me to go, I will gladly go and take pictures for you. But until then, I'm just going to tell you about it, and you can look it up online. There's actually a website. It's chicagobluesfestival.us. And it has all the information and the schedule, and there's a few different venues around the city that bands will be playing at. And, well, if you get the chance, I would say go take a look at it and have some fun listening to some old blues music. All right, so I'm a photographer, which means that I don't work regular business hours. So when I'm at home working on my computer during the day, most of the time I'll listen to WEEI, the sports radio station in Boston. And I don't listen to it so much because I'm a sports nut. I mean, I like sports, but I'm not crazy about it. The reason I listen to it is to listen to the people who call in, because they're out of their minds. In fact, the story I'm getting to is that about a week or two ago, I was listening, and some guy called in and said that he had the solution to Daisuke Matsuzaka's pitching problems. Well, not that he's had really any problems pitching, but if you've paid attention, Daisuke has had a few innings where he's not been as good as he has in the other innings. But anyway, so this guy called in and thought he had the solution to this problem. He noticed that when Daisuke Matsuzaka wore a long sleeve shirt under his uniform shirt, he pitched worse than when he wasn't wearing a long sleeve shirt under the uniform shirt. And actually, I can't remember if it was wearing the shirt or not that made him a worse pitcher, but this guy was convinced that this was a problem. And he actually asked if this had been brought up to anybody in the Red Sox organization. And this guy, I'm telling you, he was dead serious. He actually thought this was a problem and thought that the Red Sox were unaware of this problem. And, well, I guess he's just being a good fan and wants to help out. But these are the kind of nuts that I listen to that station for. And I am never disappointed because there are plenty of nuts who call that station every single day. So I guess the basic theme for this whole podcast is music. Because, well, the next two stories I have are related to music in some way. And I'll tell you about it when I get there. But the first one I want to talk about is that I heard a story about, you remember Jacob Dylan? He was the singer for the Wallflowers. I don't even know if the Wallflowers are still doing anything. They had that one album in 96, was that Bringing Down the Horse? Breaking Down the Horse? I think it was Bringing Down the Horse. I could go check, but I don't really feel like it right now. But anyway, Jacob Dylan has a son who's in kindergarten. And at this kindergarten, well, at the school anyway, I guess some of the kids were saying there was this really creepy old guy that was outside. And it turns out it was Bob Dylan, because of course Bob Dylan is Jacob Dylan's father. Therefore, he would be Jacob Dylan's son's grandfather. So all it was a case of grandpa showing up to pick up the kid from school. But apparently Bob Dylan is so creepy-looking that it was freaking out the kids when he went there to pick up his grandson. And that's just not good. But, you know, I would say it's a good thing that the teachers took notice of this and that the kids reported a creepy guy, but I don't think Bob Dylan is really that creepy. He just kind of looks creepy. And actually, I saw him in concert in 1999. He actually did a great show, and people said it was maybe one of the best shows he ever did, not because of the songs he played, but because you could understand what he said when he spoke between songs, because you could understand the lyrics he was singing. And I was close enough, and I keep telling people this, I was so close I could see all the wrinkles on Bob Dylan's face. But it was a really cool concert, and Bob Dylan's not creepy. Well, maybe he is. Actually, you know, yes, he definitely is. But he writes good music and plays good music, so that makes up for it. The only story I really have about Bob Dylan, I mean, aside from stories about him being creepy, is that I heard through a friend a few years ago that there was some concert where both Bob Dylan and Billy Joel were playing. And Billy Joel went up to Bob Dylan at some point and asked him how he remembered all the lyrics to all the songs that he's ever written and that he performs in all these concerts. And of course, Bob Dylan has written and recorded and played hundreds of songs throughout his career. And Bob Dylan's response to this was that he has a binder that has all the lyrics sitting on the side of the stage somewhere. And Billy Joel asked, well, you know, when you're performing, how do you see the lyrics if they're in some binder? And Bob Dylan said, well, I just like to know that they're there. And I think that really describes the kind of person Bob Dylan is. Not really all there in the mind, but he knows what's going on for the most part. And finally tonight, I'd like to talk about somebody who was prominent in, well, in Bob Dylan's time. Somebody who you guys probably don't know, for everybody who's listening, I think my audience is probably not aware of Francesco Scavolo. He was a very well-known fashion photographer in the 60s, 70s, 80s. He shot, I think, just about every one of Cosmopolitan's covers from the mid-60s up through the early 90s. And those of you who know my photography fairly well are probably wondering why I'm talking about a fashion photographer. And one of the things I want to do with my photography, actually, is just be able to do everything. I want to be able to shoot landscape and wildlife, but I also want to be able to shoot magazine covers with celebrities and models and well, just everything. But anyway, the biggest reason I'm interested in this guy, Francesco Scavolo, is that he's actually a relative of mine. I didn't know he was a famous photographer. Actually, I didn't know he existed until he died, which kind of sucks. But anyway, he was my great-uncle's brother. Now, I met this great-uncle a few times in my life. His name was Vic Scavolo. He was married to my grandmother's sister, so there's the family relation. And I know a bunch of Francesco Scavolo's nieces and nephews, so I know the family pretty well, and I feel bad that I never got to meet him. Of course, I really never pursued photography as a career until after he died, so I don't know how that would have worked out. But anyway, I would like to talk about him a little bit, and the stuff that he did, and why it interests me. Well, first of all, the biggest thing that interests me is that he was a really well-known photographer. I already mentioned that. But a really popular, apparently, with celebrities, especially in the 70s and 80s. And he took pictures of Mick Jagger, Janis Joplin, Sting, Barbara Streisand, Susan Sarandon, and just tons of other celebrities, which is really cool to me because I may not be the biggest fan of portrait photography, but I am a big fan of taking pictures of subjects that people are all really interested in, and celebrities are something that people are really interested in. So as a result, I've become interested and started doing research on that whole scene that Francesco was involved in, including the celebrities, including the Studio 54 scene. And even, well, I don't really want to go find old issues of Cosmo magazine, but I may go check that out too, just to see what he did. But there are a few Scavolo photography books, which actually aren't that easy to find. I've been looking around online and in bookstores, and it seems like mostly there are just used copies around. I have one on order that hasn't arrived in the mail yet, and actually a couple I ordered online, or tried to order online, they said they didn't have in stock anymore. But there are a couple websites that have some of his photos on it. ScavoloEditions.com. Oh, by the way, Scavolo is spelled S-C-A-V-U-L-L-O. And if you do a search for Scavolo and photography, you'll find that actually he was working with Andy Warhol at one point. There's a picture I saw that was titled Andy Warhol and Friend. And it's actually the type of picture that I kind of thought an Andy Warhol picture would look like. Kind of a little weird, but not so weird that it's creepy, and definitely artistic. But I'm not here to talk about Andy Warhol, I'm here to talk about Francesco Scavolo. And I actually wish I knew more about him. But one thing I can tell you is that over the past few months, I've really become interested in what he's done. And in a way, it's inspired me to explore the world of celebrity portraits and photography, and it's something I really want to go into now. Not that I'm saying I want to abandon the wildlife and nature stuff, but the celebrity stuff is something I may want to add to what I already do, and those are the types of photographs that would be more interesting to people, well, at least a broader audience of people, because I know there are people that love photography of wildlife and nature as much as I do. But celebrities and models, I think, are more appealing to the American public on the whole. And I really want to be taking pictures of stuff that people are clamoring to look at, so that's something I'm really going to look into. So I guess that's it for this podcast. I could go on about other stuff, but I think this is long enough, and I really don't feel like talking anymore. I want to grab a drink here. But anyway, thanks for listening, and I will really try to get a podcast out quicker. I think I'm into more of a regular schedule now, and I can get something done every week or so. Well, I said a week or so probably for the last three times I've done this, but really now, every week or so. And I'd appreciate any feedback you have. And of course, as always, you can find me on iTunes by searching for Greg Burt. And if you don't want to do that, just go to gregburt.com, and you'll find my podcast all neatly organized over there. Thank you, and I will see you later.